All right, there we go. So it's picking up my voice, so that's good. This interview is conducted with Wayne, how do you say your last name?
Sivrud.
I should have got that before we recorded. With Wayne Sivrud, who served with the 1st and 3rd Divisions of the Marine Corps during the Korean War. This interview is being conducted at the Mount Horeb Public Library on, Wednesday, February 5th at 10 a.m. And the interviewer is Jessica Williams. So we're just going to kind of go through a list of questions here. So to start us off, if you could tell me about your background and life circumstances before you entered the military or the Marines. So what were you doing?
I graduated from high school in 53.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for Carnes down in Verona mm-hmm. for a while. And then in January of 54, I decided to go to Marines.
So you made the choice, you weren't drafted?
I was working with my dad some on the farm, and he really didn't need my help at the time.
Uh-huh.
And in them days, they still had the draft, and I decided I wanted to go to Marines, so I joined them.
Okay.
I volunteered.
Mm-hmm. So what year were you born?
1935.
Okay. And your hometown was Mount Horeb?
Mount Horeb.
Okay.
I was born just down between Mount Horeb and Verona out here on G.
Okay.
And for 3 years of my life, I lived in out in Blue Mountains Township. Otherwise, I've lived in Springdale except for in service.
Oh, wow. So you grew up on a farm then?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. did you have brothers and sisters?
I had one brother, one younger brother.
Okay, so you're the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to mention about your family?
No, I got a great family. I got 4 children,
uh-huh.
wonderful wife.
Uh-huh.
They're all right in the area.
That's
right
nice.
Now I got a grandson that's thinking about making a career out of the Marines.
Huh.
I don't know if they followed the grandpa's,
yeah.
I guess.
Following your footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on to your military service, you kind of answered this already. You decided to enlist because you wanted to be in the Marines. So how and where did you enlist?
Well, me and Darnell Christensen, we were buddies.
Uh-huh.
We went in and enlisted in Madison.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we went to Milwaukee for our physical.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were sent to San Diego for our basic training, mm-hmm. which was, I believe, 13 weeks. Then I got a 2 weeks leave to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Came home, went back for a month's cold weather training, because at that time it was a Korean, it was mm-hmm. cold weather. And then some of the outfits, some of them, went to the 1st, some went to the 3rd. I went to the 3rd, and I was put in supply. I went to Japan,
mm-hmm.
and at Gifu first. Then I was shipped up to Mount Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
Still there, I was in ration breakdown, where the meal stuff would come in, mm-hmm. frozen stuff would come in, and we'd break it down to the other mess for every mess hall that mm-hmm. there was. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I believe there were 6 mess halls we had to mm-hmm. break it down for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 1st Division came back from Korea,
mm-hmm.
back to the States. And my dates, I can't completely remember now how many, but anybody that had been in Japan for a certain length of time went back to the States with the 1st, and those that were just over in Korea a certain length of time went to the 3rd, and so then I got sent back to the States, and then I got put in the infantry.
Okay.
And I made corporal then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the States here. I don't, like I say now, I can't remember all the dates anymore. It's been too many years ago. My mind ain't that great anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, I was getting sick and tired of that. So I put in for overseas duty again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, they sent me right back to Mount Fuji again.
Oh, wow.
But I was still in the infantry.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I stayed. And, well, I was lucky in a way. I had made sergeant. And the sergeant of the service club was sent home on emergency leave, which is 30-day leave, is normal.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked for a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I volunteered for it, and I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he never came back.
Hmm.
So that's where I stayed the rest of my time when I was in there. I was in, most of the guys were in for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I went in for 3 so that I didn't have to serve any reserve time when I got out.
Okay.
Because I was going farming.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I stayed there and got out. That's
so when you, let's see. When you were the sergeant in Mount Fuji,
mm-hmm.
what kinds of things did you do while you were
I was in the infantry. I was a platoon sergeant.
So did you go out on patrol?
Well, yeah. Well, we were training. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, we'd go out mm-hmm. over maneuvers. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we did a lot more maneuvers. Did a lot more training when I was in the States here.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of going out on these landing crafts and stuff. We'd go out mm-hmm. in the ocean so far out, and then we'd come back in and get in these landing crafts and have landing crafts, because that's what the Marines were at that time, was more landing craft stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot of that. And but when we were over in Korea, over in Japan, there it was mainly just getting out there and doing maneuvers and mm-hmm. night maneuvers and day maneuvers and
mm-hmm.
just training to try to sneak in on the enemy and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think they sent you to Japan and not Korea?
It was just the luck of the draw. I guess that's what I would say, because some of the outfit I was with
uh-huh.
went to Korea and some went to Japan.
Uh-huh.
Why? I mean, I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. I was just, that's where they sent me, that's
mm-hmm.
where I went.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they'd have sent me to Korea, that's where I'd have been
right.
gone. Because
right.
I was... always had my MOS was always infantry,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason when I went to Japan, they put me in supply at first, and
mm-hmm.
I would like to stay there.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't care for the infantry that much.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I always called it playing cowboys and Indians.
But, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
running up and down them hills, and it's such a different thing now. You know, with my grandson being in the service out in the Marines. And at Camp Pendleton, where I was stationed here 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I don't remember now for sure, just the right. Why, we were out there. And so he took me out on the base and took me where I was stationed.
Wow.
And that's all closed up. They don't have no, that the, the personnel
mm-hmm.
in the service nowadays is mm-hmm. so much lower than it was when I was in.
Yeah.
I think they're going too far with it myself.
Cutting back too much.
I'm scared of what could happen here in this country if anything would happen. The only thing is there's a lot of people would fight for their country here.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's back up a little bit
sure.
and talk about your basic training. So where did you go again for basic training?
San Diego.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was the camp like?
Oh, it was Quonset huts.
Uh-huh.
And we had I'm trying to think how many was in there. I think it was 2 squads to it was a platoon to each Quonset hut.
Okay.
And
there
were bunk beds, and uh-huh. we had a keep it cleaned up, we had to wash it, and we had basic training was really we had a sergeant
mm-hmm.
that was a alcoholic.
Oh my.
And he was meaner than the devil.
Huh.
But I got along all right. I mean, I was one of these that if you told me to do something, I went and did it. That was the way I was told
That's
to do it
and
the way I did. So I got along good. I never got into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them did. And he would come in and he'd really raise heck once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we'd get down there and you start brushing with a toothbrush and on the floor and stuff like this. I mean, it sounds foolish. I'm sure it sounds foolish for any civilian that has never went through it.
Right.
But it was very good discipline. At that time, when they told us to go and do something, we just went and did it, not ask questions, you just did it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you were trained, because if you got into a battle, and they said, go to do this, and you know they were going to shoot at you, you'd hesitate, you'd think. Well, you were trained that when he said go, you went. Mm-hmm. You didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you had that training. It was rough. And I mean, I got along great. It was a lot of marching and, you know, this kind of stuff. And the only problem was I was such a little guy. I was only, when I went in, I was only 5'3". Mm-hmm. I grew up when I was in there a little bit. And so I was always the one in the back. So, like, especially on marches, or we'd go out for a long march, it would get to going forward and back, forward and back. And I was always in the back, so I was running more than I was walking to try to keep up to the rest of them.
You probably got in twice as good a shape as everyone.
Yeah, I guess I did. I wasn't pretty good shape at that time, but. You know, so
you said you went to San Diego, but then you had to do a cold weather
trip? Yeah, then we went to Pam Pendleton, and I don't remember just...
And where's that?
That's in California. Yeah, that's San Diego, and then Camp Pendleton is at Oceanside, which was only about maybe 40 miles apart. But then the cold weather training, we went up in the mountains somewhere.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it was snowing there. We had to dig out a place to sleep in the snow. That's where we slept, is right in the snow, in a igloo-like, you know, in the snow. You take and you dig it out, and you take candles and you'd melt it to get it, ice on there so it was stronger. And that's where we'd stay and sleep in, right in there.
Wow.
And the worst part I had was to keep my feet warm.
That's what Bob said.
I got in trouble. Because on the last coming back, the last night, my feet got so cold because we just had shoes on, you know. And we had these, what they called, Mickey Mouse boots, you know. And I put them on, and we weren't supposed to. And I got caught. So I got reprimanded.
What would you do if your feet froze off? I mean,
well, they weren't, I suppose, that cold. But, I mean, we were in the blankets. I mean, it would have warmed up in time.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was cold.
Yeah.
The heck was it?
What did they do when they reprimanded?
I just got recommended. I got called at a company office and told not to do it again. That's about all that happened.
Well, that's good.
You know, it never went on my record or anything. But it was just,
That
was about the only time I ever got called up for anything.
Well, that's not bad.
No.
Did you make any good friends when you were in basic training or anything? Did your friends stay with you, the one that you enlisted with?
No, because, the biggest friend I had was when I was the first time I was over in Japan. There was a, Smith, Clayton Smith. And me and him got working together, because when we were, like I said, when I first went over in Gifu, it was, they had clothing, cold weather clothing, underwear, long johns and stuff like this. And there was, if I came mistaken, I think there was three different colors and then different sizes and stuff, but it was all mixed together. So we were sorting this stuff. And then we put them in boxes, and then we'd have to load them onto trucks and haul them. Well, you know, you're only allowed to lift so much, but being a farm kid, I was used to throwing bales and stuff, you know. Well, some of these guys, it was just impossible to work with because they just didn't know how to handle it. Well, me and him got together, and we could throw boxes all day long and do what we did good. And we got to go good buddies. And then when I got shipped up to Fuji, he went with me too. And he was he got to be corporal. I was just a PFC. And we just got to be the good friends. I mean, while we were on base, off base, because he was colored, but, you know, but that's beside the point. I mean, we were just, that we got to be good friends and, but that was about the only real friends I made, because I was being moved so many times that I was never with anybody that long.
Yeah. That's what Bob said. He said there was a rotation, so it was hard to mm-hmm. get to know anyone.
You take like some of them, like especially on a ship, uh-huh. where Navy people, where they were on a ship and they were there for so long with mm-hmm. the same people all the time, they got to be more friendly, I think, mm-hmm. where we were shipped around so much that.
Uh-huh. Did you ever get in touch with Clayton after the war?
No. No. Because mm-hmm. then when we got back, when I came back to Japan the second time, mm-hmm. I missed him by a week. Oh. He was sick because he stayed and I didn't. Wow. And I got back and I just missed him by a week or two. And because I went up right away up to where he was, where we were stationed before, and he was gone. Because when I left there, I was broke, and he gave me $10. Uh-huh. And at that time, $10 was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I got home, I wrote and sent back to him right away.
Yeah. And stuff, well, that's good. Okay, so let's see. It says, talk about your first assignment or station. Now, that was in Mount Fuji. As a supply person, right?
Well, really the first was Gifu.
Oh, Gifu.
Gifu, yeah.
Okay.
I was there for, I think, maybe 2 or 3 months.
Okay, and that's where you were in the supplies?
Yeah, I was in supply in both places.
Oh, okay.
But there I was in supply, you know, but then when I went to Fuji, I was in ration breakdown.
Okay. So what was your first impression of Japan? What did you... You've probably never been out of the country before. So.
Oh, no. I'd never been out of the country. And it was sort of backward. You know, of course, you had seen in his history, you know, you knew they had the rice paddies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, you know, it's hard to think that you could see people that were that much worse off than we were.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were working out there and... rice paddies are here and there, you know, and you see them pulling a bulky, like you see it, you'll see pictures of it, you know, but mm-hmm. it, to really see it. And I mean, of course, you know, right around the bases,
mm-hmm.
them people were a little better off
mm-hmm.
because the military was out there spending money at the mm-hmm. at the bars and stuff like this, of course, you know, when you're young, like that's where you were sitting a lot of times, and especially when you get a bunch of military guys together, they're out there
mm-hmm.
in the bars, and that's where they were making their... So they weren't too bad off.
Yeah.
I mean, they were better off. But it was quite a difference from the time I went over the first time and the second time, because I did do some driving
uh-huh.
vehicles. And when you drove down the road, they got out of your way huh. the first time I was over.
Yeah.
The second time I got over there, I was warned, be careful. They've learned... that if they got hit, they could get good money.
Oh.
So
that's
it was a little different. You had to watch out a little more. Uh-huh. I mean, they were getting more like the United States more. I mean, they
mm-hmm.
they were learning,
mm-hmm.
especially around here. But, mm-hmm. you know, it was, they were a hardworking people. They didn't have much, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like you see, you know, they run around with their little, like we call flip-flops now,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the time and stuff, you know, their shoes, that's all they ever wore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they always came off when they walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
They never wore a shoe in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I had, when I was running the service club, we had Japanese that would come in and clean every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ration was quite a bit different than what we would eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, fish and
mm-hmm.
rice. I mean, fish heads and rice. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it didn't peel.
I mean, it's a little box that they come brought it in, you know.
Uh-huh.
They were real, they got to be real. I got to really, you know, be friendly with them. Uh-huh. I mean, they were real nice guys. But it was a different thing. I mean, it was a completely different, I can't come up with the
way
name.
Way of life?
Yeah, way of life, mm-hmm. and what we would, you know, our people here would never want to do what they were doing, mm-hmm. and all that.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but they were happy.
So were you ever in a combat situation?
No.
Okay.
I was, because I got, when, like I say, when I went, just before I got out,
mm-hmm.
when I was still over in Japan, the companies that I was with were all shipped out to someplace, if I ain't mistaken, it was in the Far East somewhere. There was some conflict going on that they got shipped out for. Whether they got ever got into any combat or anything like that, I don't know. Because I lost track of them then.
Okay.
No, see, when I was in, it was always, it was peacetime then. It was between, the Korean conflict was just got over when I got in.
Okay.
And there was nothing until the Vietnam, see. So there was that stretch in between, and that's where I was in.
Oh, okay. Okay. Were you involved in any of the cleanup at all? Like some guys said that they...
Over in Korea?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because, see, I went to Japan instead of going to Korea.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know a good friend of mine here, or that we got to be friends with, no. He got in, he went in after I did.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the Army, but he went over to Korea.
I think I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. So he was saying that that's what he, on the phone, he was saying that he went over and did more cleanup than anything else. So that's why I asked. Let's see. So what kept you going through all the military? Did you, like, have something for good luck? What did you do when you got homesick? What kind of helped you? Keeping even
I was one of these, like, I got along. I never really got homesick.
Because
I could go to a movie or, and I was satisfied. I went to town and went to the movies or something like this, and I just never, never bothered me. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I mean, I took my liberty. I'd go to town just about every night or something, you know, or go to them. They usually had a movie on the base I could go to, and I'd watch.
Was it a big town that you were by at all?
Well, at that time, Oceanside was very small.
Okay.
And now it's huge compared to what it was then. It was just a small town at that time.
Yeah.
And then I, but I was in station back in the States, so I took my car back. And then, so I had my car so I could go to places. We'd go to L.A. and different places.
Freedom.
And we got, you know, get around, and you'd find people, some kids somewhere else, some that were civilians, you know, that you'd get to know, go to dances or something, you know, do something.
Huh.
We'd live in our car over the weekend, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like an adventure. let's see.
I don't think they want to do it nowadays. But.
No. So when you were discharged from the military, how did that, so basically you just ran out your time, and then when your time was up, they sent you home?
Yeah, yeah, when I, that's what happened there. I got sent back to States, you know, and see, I was in, went in from January 19th. And I think I got home here just before Christmas, and that would have been in 56. December 56, so I got home for Christmas, and then I was, they stationed me at the Great Lakes by Chicago because of being this close to getting out. I just spent the next 2 weeks there and come home, and so, and then when I came home, I took over the farm.
Was it a dairy farm?
Yeah.
Okay. How many cows?
Oh, at that time, we only had 20 cows. When I sold out, now I had 60.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm still living there.
So what was your homecoming like? Did they have a party for you or anything?
No.
Or? No.
No. I don't remember anything. I might have. You know, a lot of that stuff is just many years ago.
Yeah,
you forget things like that. It was nothing special anyhow.
So you were a dairy farmer. You have a wife and how many kids?
Four kids.
Four kids.
Two boys and two girls.
Okay. Did you ever have any medals or citations or have a need for veterans benefits or anything like that?
No. I never had any. No, I mean, just whatever company you're in, you got the medal.
Yeah.
No, I never had any medals. I still get my veteran. I get veterans benefits.
Good. I don't know why they ask that one, but I guess maybe some people have had a hard time getting them or something. So
you got to have, you know, there's different qualifications for it and stuff. Yeah, I do get some vets.
That's good.
But I ain't got no disabilities or anything.
Yeah. Did you get involved in any veteran organizations after the war? Or after you got
I belonged to Legions.
Legions, okay. Yeah.
But.
So you have meetings or do they have
Yeah, they have meetings. I'm not an active member. Just, I told them I'd join and, and if they need help, they could call. But otherwise, I mean, I've helped out different times and things, but no, I don't do that because I can't do much anymore.
Mm-hmm. So looking back, how do you feel about your experience? What has it meant to your life, do you think?
It was the best thing I ever did except for getting my wife.
Had a pretty good impact on you then.
I had it when I was a young kid. And I never got in any trouble or anything like that, but I had my fun. And I went in there and it shaped me up. I mean, I think it did wonders for me. I woke up a little. Of course, I went in, I was 18, got out at 21, so I grew up. I was. That's what I said when I went in. I told my mother they didn't like the idea because I just went and did it on my own. They didn't know nothing about it until I came home and told them I was enlisted already. And I said, well, I'm going in now. I said, when I get out, I'll be a man. I'll be 21. And so I thought it really, and I've always had the feeling that every man, every kid should go through at least 2 years of military training with the discipline that we had. I think it would be good for all of them for discipline.
I know a lot of people that feel the same way.
And I think it'd be good for the country.
Is there anything else you would want to say about your experience that you could think of?
No, I had a lot of good experiences. I mean, I did, you know, like I say, I think it did me a lot of good. I was lucky to get into supply. I got it back when I went and volunteered for the service club. I got that. So I didn't have the hardest duty in the world. I mean, I did my share of infantry too. So, I mean, I had a roundabout of everything in service. Really, I mean, I seen a lot of everything, and I know. I don't know nowadays. I don't know how these kids nowadays. Like my grandson, I see him. They put these packs and all this stuff, the gear that they carry. I don't know how they can handle it. I know I couldn't have when I was in, but like I say, I don't think I would have been able to get in nowadays because I would have been too small. Because I only weighed, I think at the time, maybe 130 pounds, 140 pounds is all I weighed. You know, I was just a little runt. One of them. You know, but I got along.
Yeah, sounds like you did well.
I did all right. Like I say, I lucked out and got into a lot of things that I got into, but I was never in any trouble or anything. And I was always, I always had that, like the saying is, never volunteer for anything. That was the only thing I did volunteer for, and I did was lucked out, but otherwise you get. Didn't volunteer until, you know.
Well, what I think I'll do is I'll probably listen to this one more time, and then if I have any questions, I might give you a call, and also to see if you go home and you think of something that you wanted to tell me about that you forgot, when I call you, you can come back in if you want to, and we could do another one, maybe a shorter one or something, if that sounds okay.
Sure. You know, I really, like I say, I've never really had much going on or anything, but I got a lot of, you know, different experiences. I mean, not because of the service, but, well, because of the service. I got my first airplane ride I ever had.
Yeah.
Then I took the train twice from Chicago to California. And so that, I mean, all them things, I mean, I got experiences that I would never have had if I never went to service.
Right. And every experience is important. I mean, it all contributes to.
The fact is that it made a difference nowadays. We've taken 2 train trips in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And we're planning on maybe another one this fall.
Yeah. Where do you go?
Well, 2 years ago, we went to Washington, D.C.
Okay. Did you see the Korean War Memorial?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've seen that a couple times. Mm-hmm. I've been out there. And then last year, we went to Grand Canyon.
Oh, that's
a good trip. We took it. It was a train trip around, you know, back to Chicago. Uh-huh. Now, this year, if we go, it's out to the balloon, where they have the big balloon festivals out in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. I have heard of that. I've heard that's really something spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it ain't cheap, but...
Ooh, you gotta live
I said
a little.
I can't take care of can't take it with me.
Right.
So.
There you go.
And the kids don't need it.
Yeah. And you earned it.
Yeah.
So might as well take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to push a stop here.